call the January 10th meeting of the Environmental Advisory Committee to order. Thanks, everyone, for attending. Do we have any questions about the agenda? Does everyone have a copy of the agenda? Any changes to the agenda as prepared?
Looks good.
Looks good. Got a motion to approve, Grady?
Yes.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to new business. We've got organics collection. Christine, are you going to give us an update on that?
Yeah, I just have some really exciting, positive news. We have a meeting with the assistant superintendent for Henderson County Public Schools on Monday. We've been talking ever since I started about doing a composting pilot at the Henderson County Public Schools. And I have a huge love and experience with environmental education, so I'm really excited to focus our work in the schools. And we decided to do the pilot at Mills River Elementary because they did one, I think, 2014 with Danny's Dumpster. But this time we're going to be using Atlas Organics, and they are again the commercial compost facility in Greenville, South Carolina, that we've been using at the convenience center. So we have a meeting with everybody, all the stakeholders on Monday, and I'm just really excited to report back on that. But it looks like we'll start composting at Mills River beginning first day of school in August. But first, we need to talk to the principal still, but we're just getting the okay from the head honchos. So I'm really excited about that. But any questions?
Not about that, but what about the prison or the jail? Is that a direction that you might consider as well?
We still have a pilot program going on there. Yes, but because of the new changeover in November, I've been waiting to contact them and introduce myself, but I actually had a conversation with Marcus right before I came here that I need to contact the new sheriff and introduce myself and then also do a press release because it's been going pretty strong. I think it's been getting about half a ton of organics a month. So. They had a little bit of complaints in the fall about the fruit flies, but we're going to try and work through those logistics. But, yeah.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
and that's all data we're keeping, and so, you know, we'll keep really detailed records of that.
What's the timeline just for the pilot to then be implemented countywide?
Yeah, I think I want to start slow, but for the first year, just do one school, and then maybe do two, and then maybe three. And my goal is to start in the elementary schools first. And so then as they, you know, the fifth graders will eventually move into middle school, and by the time, hopefully, we'll get them and eventually the high school. So, and that, from my experience in schools, it's easier to get elementary students to do something than middle school. So we're going to start there.
Cool.
And I do like their system because I was working in Asheville City Schools, and Atlas has the INC captains. It's not compostable captains, which collects all the trash while their kids are still sitting down. And so when they go for dismissal, they only have to sort recycling and dump their food. At other schools I've been to, they would have to, like, sort trash and compost, and you have to nitpick all these little ketchup packets. So it's just, I'm excited to see this new system, and then maybe to compare the Asheville City system to this. So, really, you know, I'm not saying theirs is like the gold standard, but I'm excited to try something new and compare.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for your work with that.
Yeah.
That brings us to old business. Chris, do you have any updates for us on the policy guidance for LID?
Not except what we got. I mean, Natalie Berry with her very long and detailed response. Okay. And I haven't, I mean, did we send it to, didn't we send it to Marcus and
Yeah, and then Marcus
and
suggested
John?
Natalie. So.
Did we sent it to John, too, weren't we? Weren't we going to send it to John Mitchell?
I asked him about it earlier today. We had lunch, and he hadn't seen it yet. So maybe it's just a.
I sent it just to Marcus, and
okay.
Then he said more Natalie. But. Sorry, I can send it to him after. this.
No, that's fine. I mean, I think we should go ahead and send it to John Mitchell, too, if we didn't do that last time. I guess I thought that was the case. But, yeah, I mean, Natalie seems to approve of it.
Okay.
So that I didn't get the chance to see her response. Was it?
It was like six words.
Oh, was it?
It said, like, I approve of something. I mean, it was, there wasn't much.
I approve of the statement.
Yeah, that was it. That was
five words.
Hey, it's better than a thumbs down. I mean, that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was singing endorsement from her.
Yeah. I like it. We'll take that praise. Okay. Well, good. And then, you have anything else to add, Philip, on that? We're just talking about the LID policy guidance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No. Chris and I talked about it a couple weeks ago whenever Natalie sent that email. I thought maybe we would have John or somebody here at this meeting.
That was my bad. I thought I sent it first to Marcus, and he was like, recommended just to Natalie, so.
Okay.
But I can send it to John, too.
We need some political assistance with what to do with that that letter next.
Right.
So I feel like it's
kind of navigation times.
Yeah, between me and Chris and this board, I think we have a technically sound letter.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not totally sure about how to present to the commissioners or, you know, what. Maybe that's just some footwork that we could do individually behind the scenes. But
I'd be happy to do that. And sorry that I didn't send him before, but I can figure out the next steps. You know, I can tell Marcus, like, we sent it to Natalie, she approved, and, you know, what are the next steps?
Okay.
I will volunteer myself, and I think Chris might be able. And
I'd be happy to help, too.
But if we could, if you wanted to see if John Mitchell is the main one that comes to mind, would be willing to have just, you know, 20-minute meeting in his office to talk about it. Is there maybe even Steve Wyatt?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe John Mitchell, then Steve Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
So and like above board, the purpose is not for us to like sneak anything in. We just want to know. But we're just citizens. We don't understand how this gets brought to the commissioners, and we want to know.
Sure.
Most appropriate way.
What's the protocol?
I feel like staff is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's positive.
Yeah.
You know, it's moving. We just need to figure out next steps beyond where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Do we have any updates on the Greenway Master Plan? I don't think the Board of Commissioners did. They were supposed to see it in December, but they didn't see it.
They
is that right?
Seen it yet.
Yeah. Okay. Do we know when they're going to see it?
Okay. Last I heard, they had not.
Okay.
Wait, it's not on the next agenda? What is
it? It got.
It wasn't on this past January 10th or January 7th.
Last I heard, they. I forget exactly how it was worded, but no, they have not scheduled when they're taking it up next. The in case you all don't know, at Green Drinks at Black Bear tonight at 5:30. Chris Burns, who's the chair of the Master Plan Committee, is going to be talking. And so if you want to come have a beer or wine or nothing and listen, gather at 5:30. He'll start presenting at 6 at Black Bear.
His focus is going to be a piece of trail tonight, isn't it?
Pardon?
No, I think it's on the new master plan.
Yeah,
he's with Acosta Trail, but he's there tonight in his role on the master plan.
Okay.
All right. So we'll just wait. If once we do find out, we'll make sure everybody on the committee is aware of it. I think we want to show up, obviously, when the Board of Commissioners see it, because that's another way to give our public comment verbally or non-verbally. All right. And C is on me. I did not get the follow-up I was supposed to. I know it's been 90 days. I apologize. the prior year review. I apologize. I'll get cracking on that.
What is that again?
It's basically every year we put together basically our done in the prior year and sent it to the Board of Commissioners. And we got a little off track at the end of last year. It's usually due in July, ish. So we're delinquent, but I'll resolve that and get it out to everybody. Basically, what we need to do is just vote on it.
So your summary goes from July to July?
June to July. Or excuse me, August to July.
Yeah. So only four of us on this board were present for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically what I do is I go back to the meeting summaries we were doing formally. So it's not me trying to use my mental capacity for what did we do 12 months ago or better. It's drawn from that, and then we basically wordsmith anything that doesn't sound appropriate or, you know, it's
doesn't
not
make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. That's important. So, but again, I'll go back to the information we worked on with Rachel in the prior term and get that sent out to everybody. Really, it's just us just saying, hey, are we good with it or not? And then we can turn around and send it to Terry, the clerk, so she can get it to the Board of Commissioners.
Does anybody know if we can do a vote over email?
We can. We just have to have 100% participation. So everybody would have to step up and say yay or nay, which
we could do.
Our track record's been pretty strong. Mm-hmm. I think we've done it once or twice in 4 years. It's we're all team players. Let's see. Next is Solid Waste Master Plan update.
Yes. So the reason why we chose to meet in January is so we could talk about the Solid Waste Master Plan. But unfortunately, that has been put on hold, and we're going to look at it again this summer. And we did get a request for a proposal from engineers, but it came back too high, and so we're going to do it in-house now. I mean, we're going to contract that out. We're now going to do it in-house. So Marcus right now is working on the sewer master plan for Cane Creek, so we're just going to wait till the summer. But thanks for meeting earlier than normal for that. But
what was the budget for consulting fees for master planning?
Yeah, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I can send that out. But I just know Marcus thought it was too high.
But you've typically done it in-house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and the plan's not required by the state. We were trying to do it to be, I guess, as proactive and comprehensive as possible, is my understanding. Is that correct?
So it's just up to Marcus and Natalie to do it, or just Marcus is going to do it?
Marcus, me, and Greg.
Yeah. All three.
Mm-hmm. But we do have the old one, so we can just update that.
Yeah, and y'all created the county created the old one?
I believe so.
Okay.
How much were the proposals? Like, how much was too much to pay to get help?
I don't know off the top of my head, but no, he thought it was too much.
So the next thing on our list is our meeting schedule. We've been fluid. Andrew, this is why this is something we talk about, seems like, every meeting. When are we going to meet again? And I guess since we have a light meeting agenda, this is also a good time to talk about, is there something that's keeping you up at night environmentally that we need to focus on? Because that's what we're here for, honestly, is we're appointed by the commissioners to focus on things that are important to the citizens. We represent the citizens of the county, you know. So if something's important to us, then we typically sit here and talk about, well, let's focus on X because it's important to me. And we've covered a lot of things. Jan, do you have something that's...
Stormwater runoff.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's a big one lately.
Yeah, I would agree with that entirely. We've got, I know it falls back to LID, but
for the record, I wasn't the one that said that.
Yeah,
that was.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, I agree. That's it doesn't seem like we need much rain, much in a rain event to have stormwater issues.
Well, also, with some of the severe rains, there's also the issue of slides. And are we doing enough to protect developments and such and people below?
Right, right.
You know, people that live downslope from people that are building upslope.
True. Well, when we've talked about stormwater before, I don't know that we've really gotten a chance to dig into it. I think we've just kind of, I think we've talked to Natalie Berry before. Is that right? Is that one, everyone's memory on that?
Yeah, we talked to Natalie, she yes, she talked about erosion control permitting
mm-hmm.
that you have to do for any construction project greater than a certain acreage depending on its slope.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of came in and read the ordinance to us.
Gotcha.
So that's what it kind of comes down to with if you discuss this with staff, is that they're not staff doesn't change any of the rules. So they just have the ordinance and they enforce it. And any time that we've been given guidance by numerous people, whether it be staff or elected officials, that no one's stopping us from doing anything. But if we do talk about changing ordinances or anything, that is a maybe the six or eight of us pushing against a tide. It'd be very, very a difficult row to hoe. So, generally, those ideas have just kind of crashed against those kind of bulwarks, and that is why we came up with the idea of the LID guidance document. Mm-hmm. So that addresses stormwater in some fashion, but I think when y'all say stormwater, you mean like all kinds of things related to rainfall and its runoff, landslides, flooding, which isn't necessarily connected to stormwater development ordinances. Flooding issues are related but not wholly related. So the stormwater ordinance talks about, you know, 2-year and 10-year storms, and it kind of protects the community against those small little events that basically keep channels from eroding. But the big 100-year events, things that fill up the floodplain valley and flood the roads and everything, those are the larger events that engineers don't have to do any sort of designs for.
Well, you know, it's interesting, depending where you live around here, this last calendar year in my development, we had 115 inches of rain. Mm-hmm. Got two people that record them, and they both got that. And the Asheville Airport's only like probably 60 inches or something. Mm-hmm. So depending where you are, it's a much larger problem.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't think we need to stop proposing issues because of fear of a tide commission or whatever. I think it needs to be addressed every year to show that this is still an issue, and it's mm-hmm. that cadence of citizens saying this is important to us,
right.
and not be defeated by the fact that they may not entertain it or not.
Well, maybe there's a different strategy we might employ to be more effective and comprehensive in our study of an issue or situation like stormwater. In my experience, we've never effectively sidebarred with another standing committee. We might go to planning and say, hey guys, we see this as an issue, what's your point of view? Because mm-hmm. maybe if it's more than one committee looking at something, maybe that raises the flag a little higher mm-hmm. and gives us a better, you know, I guess my point is maybe there's a way for us to kind of create a cooperative among, like maybe there's one or two from our group and one or two from planning, and you kind of, you dig in and try to figure out, well, what are things we could do to be more proactive? I mean, I think you would probably find the 100-year floods are hard to predict and prepare for, but maybe there's a middle ground that we haven't explored yet. Just one thought that comes to mind for me.
Is enforcement of the existing ordinances pretty good?
I don't know that I could answer that question.
The erosion control ordinance? No. The answer is no. The stormwater ordinance is kind of just up to the engineers to do it, and they all generally do it okay. Mm-hmm. but there's not really an enforcement mechanism. It's just a permit. Like, you design it to the permit, and then it gets built. So, whereas erosion control is kind of a lot up to the contractor, and then you have to have somebody go catch them.
Yeah, so are things inspected, and
yeah.
Do you have to do one thing before you move on to the next thing all the time?
Well, they're supposed to be.
So the rules are good,
I figured,
but we just have Natalie for the whole county.
Is there an accountability process for the person giving the permits?
I don't understand.
Like, whoever's granting these permits.
The county.
What's the accountability process to determine whether or not those were all good decisions?
Depending on, depending on the, like, amount of disturbance, they can either, are supposed to keep up their own self-inspections, which could theoretically be audited, but they're generally not. And then if it's a bigger one, if it's like a bigger project, I think there's like required inspections either by an engineer or an architect, or, you know, if it's a high profile thing, Natalie will earmark it and make sure she goes and checks it. So it's kind of just, did that answer your question?
Sort of, yeah. I guess there's not much of one. It sounds like, or it's self-governed.
Well, the Mountain True organization has had this riverkeeper program, and they've gone out and they found turbidity issues, E. coli issues, and in several cases they've been able to trace that back to the source. Mm-hmm. But that's not the county, that's really a volunteer organization doing that.
And that's mainly Buncombe County that they're doing that
in? It's Buncombe, it's Henderson County.
Yeah, like across their footprint.
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. And
there are about seven or eight counties here.
Well. And that's why they've got the fines going on now, the try-on, the erosion control.
Maybe I shouldn't put this on record, but I call Natalie whenever I see stuff, probably like 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
This is like driving by.
A lot of the counties in Mountain True's footprint actually contract with Mountain True for water quality testing, you know, things like that. So it's I think it's a good example of partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do? I mean, I think this is a timely issue. I think that, you know, people are I mean, with the way this winter has gone, this fall and winter with the rainfall. And
sure.
Of course, the mess at Publix, you know, their boxes were supposed to handle all of that. And apparently, you know, they were overwhelmed. I mean, no one expects these events. You know, you can't predict
sure.
them. And but unfortunately, looking at climate change at this point, they're going to be more numerous. And to be more proactive about this.
Sure.
Because I know it certainly impacts our economy and our citizens. What do we do here?
Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm also wondering if maybe we could get other people to endorse this letter besides the county. You know, definitely show it to John and find out next steps from him and Steve, but maybe Mills River Partnership.
Oh, we're trying to spitball new ideas.
Yeah.
We're all moving forward with the LID thing for sure. We're talking about other things we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wonder.
Well, just partner with other organizations, too. Mills River Partnership, that's
mm-hmm.
one of their big goals. But in Mills River, I thought it was interesting that I think the counties, they permit for everybody but Mills River. I want to do some more digging personally and talk to Natalie, sit down with her and see why that is.
What
Mills
kind
River
of
is supposed to go to DEQ for, I think, erosion and control.
Yeah, there's Transylvania County is even more odd with that stuff, depending on if it's some sort of trout area or something. Do you know those rules, Chris? Mills River might.
Would that be fisheries then, if it's trout related?
No. It's high quality waters.
Yeah,
related.
No. It's actually.
What is it?
Now you put me on the spot. It's actually waters that are classified by DWQ as being trout waters, which means that they meet the water quality standards to support trout. It does not necessarily mean they have trout in them. When you do that, there is a 50-foot non-disturbance buffer on those streams. But again, that's actually through DWQ. It's not through wildlife resources. So those are two separate.
Yeah, but if you're in that watershed, it change. Like if you're in within or without, it tells you what ordinance you have to follow, whether it's NCDEQ rules or Transylvania County rules or Henderson County?
Well, it's been a while since I did any of that kind of permitting, but I mean, you could be in a county that contains trout water, but which means you need to indicate that it is or isn't trout waters that you may be in. But that's generally, I mean, that's actually the last I dealt with it, that those buffers were actually regulated. The classification of trout is done by water quality, but the buffers are actually handled by land resources.
Yeah.
And go into your sediment erosion control permits. So, I mean, the problem is you've got lots of different agencies. It was always kind of weird that you had to talk to them about trout waters, but it
doesn't sound like either of us can remember why exactly Mills River would not be handled by Natalie.
I was thinking farming related, but that
well, does the city, does Hendersonville? I mean, does Natalie do?
Natalie does Hendersonville's erosion control, but not the stormwater permitting.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that's just an arrangement they have. So, I mean, I would, because she does Laurel Park too.
Mm-hmm.
So Mills River's incorporated now, and then they could make that choice or that decision.
Yeah, I think without knowing for sure, I think that's how it works, in that they can handle that, apply to the state and get the delegated authority to handle that in-house. But, you know, towns, places like Laurel Park and Mills, well, Mills River is an exception, but Laurel Park are so small that, you know, it's not worth the, it's not financially viable for them to have somebody that does just that, I think. I mean, I'm reaching a little bit, but that's my understanding.
Yeah, but why does Mills River use NCDEQ in Swannanoa as opposed to Natalie here in Henderson County? That was the question.
Yeah, I want to try and find
out.
Well,
because delegated authority comes from the state. So you become like, well, I mean, I'm assuming like with stormwater.
Natalie does everything in the county, incorporated or unincorporated, except for Mills River. That's what she's saying.
I don't know. I mean, generally with stormwater, it comes from the state, though. So like a municipality can have delegated authority from the state. Most of the big cities do, so Durham and Charlotte and all that. But that authority is still delegated to them by the state, which means the state agencies have the ability, because I've actually done this by accident, have the ability to step in and say, you're not doing it the way it should be done, and we're taking it back. Or we're taking this project, or what have you. It doesn't happen very often, but so I don't know I don't know for sure, but I mean, it sounds like something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they have the option to use either Natalie, the county erosion control reviewer, or send it to Natalie
right.
King, who's the one in Swannanoa for NCDEQ, and they chose NCDEQ. And then I guess I'm just wondering why.
Question that I have every time we talk about something that maybe where we're trying to either refresh or improve things that the county's doing is, what other counties, be it in North Carolina or outside of North Carolina, look like us, you know, topographically? I know we're unique in terms of the French Broad Valley, but are there others that look like us who might be able to kind of beg, borrow, and steal a little bit, say like, hey, county such and such over here is doing it this way, and this is where we differ. Can we find a way to find a middle ground? Christine, is there anything like that any counties that you know of that come to mind that we might be able to kind of peek into their policies, procedures, et cetera?
Not off the top of my head, but do some research.
Jackson County?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going more specifically to steep slope development.
Mm-hmm.
Buncombe County has something. Lake Lure has something, which I think is probably a more reasonable one than if you're trying to promote something.
Sure.
So, and they're very similar to here.
I know that Parks and Rec staff had within their realm of things that they are concerned with, thinking about like what is a reasonable budget and what kind of facilities do other people have. They were wondering this same thing. Like, so maybe we shouldn't compare ourselves to, you know, whatever the county is around Raleigh, but are there similar counties in North Carolina or in Virginia or California that are similarly situated? So you could just ask for that, this little report that they produced
yeah.
on the counties
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that might inform a lot of conversation around a bunch of different things.
Yeah, is it, and they just found just like other kind of quasi-mountainous similar population.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you can argue they're trying to benchmark best practices.
Basically, yeah.
And that could be for stormwater or just other cool programs they're doing.
Yeah,
in general.
Yeah, I think you might have some ahas digging in, you know, reviewing information like that.
Do other counties do this sort of policy guidance letter stuff?
I couldn't find anything looking around. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really, like, if we did it, I don't know how someone would find it.
Right.
That's kind of that's one of the questions.
Where did the idea come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to do that in general. I heard the recording, but I don't know who proposed it or if that was like,
I think it was Chris.
We did this 5 years ago. We're doing it again.
Paying attention.
I was looking at Mills River. What? What I proposed?
I guess this concept of doing like policy guidance instead of something that would face a tide. As
that was clearly Philip. I don't remember how we came about with that.
Yeah. I honestly think we kind of got broached by Marcus to begin with. We were kind of fishing around, and he was like, well,
the truth is that, and I mean, I'll say it, we've been very clearly stated multiple times by various entities that we are not allowed to talk about changing ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
And this was as close as we could get.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah. Our committee is advisory in nature, so we're not supposed to be a policy-making board or policy-changing board. And so I think it's a little bit...
That may or may not have been said explicitly, but
right.
I bristled at being told that just like she does, because we can do whatever we want. We're an advisory board. We can suggest Henderson County go to the moon. Like,
can they fire us?
I mean, it's kind of interesting. When was the last time the commissioners asked for advice?
Yeah.
In my 3 years or whatever on this, I don't think we've ever had a commissioner come and talk to us.
There's one commissioner that's a sponsor of us, isn't there?
Each year, yeah.
Who is it right now? Do you know?
I don't. I'm sorry.
You don't know either?
It changes every year.
Does anyone on this board meet with this commissioner just to fill them in? Or
you know the answer to that.
Well.
Do they know we exist? Ish? Okay.
Showing up and saying we're here, and we are a resource for you, and we do represent the citizens.
Does that change each year?
That's my understanding, but I've been on the committee since 2014, mm-hmm. and I've not seen who it is. We've talked about, hey, it's this, this representative.
We talked about having somebody come.
Yeah, we've talked about inviting them and kind of talk about what's.
I don't remember which one it was.
What's important to us.
Even one meeting where somebody was going to come and then
it didn't show. We all sat here like a bunch of schmucks.
We were here.
we were.
I think it would be important to set up a meeting and go to them, whoever it is.
Hmm.
Well, they have regular scheduled meetings we could go to and.
Go to their office. I call and go to their offices when I want to talk to them.
Yeah, that's true.
So who's going to do it?
Not me.
I'm excited to see what might be produced from looking at other counties and seeing what other cool programs would even be worth exploring,
mm-hmm.
and then talking to somebody if there's any
mm-hmm.
really bold ideas in there. And maybe between now and the next meeting, if we could, I don't know how fast it would take to get something like that, but if we could look at it between the meetings to see what sticks out.
So do we send the minutes of our meetings to the commissioners or especially the one who sponsors us?
Send it to Terry and post it on our website, but I don't know if she sends it to them. And again, I'm sorry, I don't have answers still.
No,
it's totally fine.
We're exploring.
Yeah,
and I do too. I don't know. not the ones to initiate the communication and to keep that flowing, then that information may not get, I mean, these are busy people, and sometimes they don't deal with things unless it's right in front of them.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. As much of a busybody as I am, I know...
It's all good,
though. Well, I know that I am not... To effectively deploy a Philip Ellis is not to just send me into the China shop, so I wouldn't be a good person to just go and shoot the breeze with Mike Edney or Charlie or whoever it is.
Perfect.
No,
person.
No, no, I wouldn't, because I can't not have like a direct topic, and I
concur with that.
He concurs that I'm not the right person for this job.
I was thinking maybe Ryan as chair. But
I'd be happy to.
And it's just to update them? What's the goal again?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, and yeah. It's that cadence of presence and
just
being right
there.
Gotcha.
You
know, this is important. This is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, something ongoing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, just to keep them in the loop. Because right now, they probably have, I don't know, maybe some of them are reading the minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. I think it'd be nice to know who our liaison is.
Yes.
And invite that person
to
a meeting.
Well, maybe one way we could talk about this is, you know, let them know that the solid waste management plan is not something we're doing every year. So, you know, say, hey, this is something we're working on now. And, you know, I think in the ideal situation we've talked about, it'd be great at the onset of each term, if it's July, August, what have you, mm-hmm. fiscal year, that we have them come and say, hey, it's great what you did last year. These are the things that I think about from my seat on the Board of Commissioners. And then we have an interaction. It's like, oh, we're concerned about this. And mm-hmm. there's, oh, well, yeah, I'd love you to dig into that. Or, you know, that I think that'd be the ideal situation. If it's practical,
yeah.
I don't know. We've not been able to pull it off so far.
Well, even if we just email our liaison, they all have an email address that we can email them directly. At least up to date. At least we provided mm-hmm. the information.
Right.
And that's probably the least encumbering way of doing that. And they may have suggestions. I mean, when you bring it up, well, have you thought about looking at something else? Because they obviously are going to have a different perspective, and that's something that we can look into. There's some bright minds on this board.
I don't have an actual idea or request here. But I know over the course of the past 10 or 15 minutes, something that's hit me in the head a few times is both Marcus and Natalie, they do a lot of work for the county. They very rarely come to these meetings. And like I've said before, Natalie doesn't have time to go around and visit all the erosion control sites. But then one of the first things we talked about was that the county just decided to take on this pretty big master planning project themselves. So I want to circle back to that and say, can you provide us with what these numbers are? Because maybe that's something we should be able to provide an opinion to staff about. It's like, well, y'all are saving 50 grand, but we get to see you less. There continues to be erosion control problems in the county.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two of you on staff. Like, are you hiring another person to help with this master plan? Isn't that something that we could comment on as an advisory role?
You certainly could express concerns. There's no question about that.
Because, I mean, I get it. I don't want to overpay for a service. And I know master planning can be done really well or really poorly. I don't know who proposed on it or what. But, them taking that on, just that's a full-time job for a few months, like putting that together.
But they've been doing it. It's not a new thing.
Well, they do it every 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't know how much time Marcus is anticipating it taking, but
he's
still updating the old one. So
my base point was, it's enough work for a consulting firm to say, hey, this is going to cost us a lot of money. And they're not just, I mean, that money equals the time that they would spend on it. So we're either going to spend a commensurate amount of time, or we're going to produce a very worse, a much less quality
master plan report.
Right.
So either one of those situations, the bad report is not good, doesn't sound good to me, and having Marcus and Natalie and other staff all their time wrapped up in this thing over the summer also doesn't sound that good to me. So it's, and knowing like how much, I mean, Harrison County is kind of flush with funds right now.
Yeah, they just said they had $2 million plus surplus.
Yeah, so that's why I'm just.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I think my experience in business as well as nonprofits, there's such a thing as free work. I mean, everything has a cost.
Yeah.
It's a volunteer, staff member, everything. Something costs you.
And maybe this is different. If they maybe they're hiring another engineer or more like environmental staff or something that I don't know about. So what should we ask our liaison here to provide us with to be able to make those kind of advisory statements to staff and the commissioners about this kind of topic?
I think sitting down and talking is a good idea. You know, there's nothing beats face-to-face and just brainstorming and trying to figure out. I mean, this is a collaborative. It's, you know, and trying to get a better understanding.
Can they come to this meeting once?
Who's they?
Natalie and Marcus.
The point, they didn't come.
Yeah, and we've invited them, and they have come. But it's like, I think John Mitchell probably comes the most often just to kind of keep our pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because their names come up like dozens of times.
Yeah, they just come when we request them. Mm-hmm. And it's because they are the environmental staff. They're the two engineers that the county employs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Natalie, can you find out who our liaison is? Could you do that?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Who our liaison is, and
when we can meet with him.
When we can meet with him. And then I want some numbers. Either Marcus has a number, is like, we can't spend more than $30,000 on this master plan. Like, if there's a number that he was measuring these proposals against, provide that to us, or just provide us the actual proposals, or like a summary of what it would have cost from those two, three, four, however many we got.
Mm-hmm.
Some way that we can know, like, oh, how much was too much?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't, I was under the impression that if you're looking for engineering services, it's an RFQ, not an RFP. Is that?
Oh, my bad, yeah.
So we went, it's kind of like the second date you get to know about the, because I thought we had selected a firm, and so I guess that's when they that's when they come around with, hey, this is the cost, right?
That would make sense.
Right.
So
but then they could also fall back on their next one and then request a proposal from the next in line.
True.
Isn't that generally how you do it?
Yeah.
You rank them by qualification, and then if you can't work out an agreeable cost with the first one, you move on to the second one?
I'm sure there's some red tape that caused a headache and might have been why Marcus or somebody said, let's not go through that again. Maybe you actually have to give a certain number of days for other people to propose. I don't know.
Master plans by the state, you know, because if that's not a requirement, then there's not a sense of urgency and priority to address it, and that concerns me. I think they'll do a good job. I mean, the solid waste manager has done these plans for many, many years, and they've done an effective job. Now, I don't know if they've done a proactive job, but they've done an effective job. My concern is it's not one of those things that's a has-to item, and so where's the priority here?
Can you?
Voluntary.
Yeah, it is at this point.
Can you also provide a link to our current master plan, whatever is the latest one?
It might be helpful. I'm looking at the RFQ. I mean, you can find it on the county's website.
It's still there?
Yeah. I mean, it's closed, but it still shows you it was dated August 17th and they were due September 7th. But it shows you what the scope of service, like what the scope of the work, whatever the approved firm would be doing for the county. I mean, I for one, when we were looking at a outside firm to do it and it wasn't required, I thought that was us being proactive. You know, I felt good about that. So I want to make sure the work product is quality. And I'm not saying anything against Marcus, Natalie, or Christine. Just want to make sure that you have the best services available, and if we can help in any way, shape, or form, we'd be more than happy to, I believe. So if
if you want me to send an email to that end to help the conversation with Marcus or move it forward, you
I
just
copy you
okay.
on an email.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Did the Greenway Master Plan, did they do that in-house?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's quality, mm-hmm. you know?
They also hired additional staff mm-hmm. during that process, and they had a working committee that, that whole committee maybe did 20%, 30%. Mm-hmm. The actual report was brought together by staff. But between Parks and Rec and planning, that's like they had six to eight people like helping on that. And what are y'all? Mm-hmm. Three? You, Marcus, and Natalie?
Greg.
And Greg. And then there's not, like, we're not helping you with it unless you ask us to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You will for a public comment. That's for sure.
Greg is the manager?
Mm-hmm. He manages Cane Creek and the landfill.
Okay.
For transfer station.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I think let's see what Marcus' thoughts are. Let's see if we can get some information on who our BOC liaison is. And, we can always talk about items in between meetings. In other words, like if you're just driving home from work and you see something that just slaps you in the face, feel free to shoot an email. The only, I would say, limiting factor to consider, and this has never come up in my experience, but I feel like it's just important to mention, if basically more than three of us get together, I believe, we have to, it's considered it needs to be a public meeting, public notice. So that's why we've kind of broken off into two people at a time, here or there, working on LID policies, mm-hmm. things like that. And I think if we're going to stick to quarterly meetings, that's probably the best way to proceed, where we kind of sidebar and say, all right, Lucy and I are going to work on X, mm-hmm. Great Andy are going to work on this. And that may be a way for us to do more with less meetings, but that's always, there's fluidity there. If we find that, hey, we're working on something that takes a lot of elbow work, digging in, then we can always turn up our meeting frequency. A few years ago, we were meeting monthly and then bi-monthly, and it just felt like we're not getting a lot done with this meeting, so let's step back a little bit. And so we can be flexible. Is there anything else? I know we've talked about stormwater and land size. Is there anything else that y'all are seeing in the county that?
I just wanted to commend Christine. She did a recycling presentation at the library, and Will and I both went. Now, the attendance was not stellar, but the presentation was very good.
Yeah.
It was really quality and understandable, and she was available for questions, and that was very, very well done, and I'd like to see that happen more throughout the county and as much as you possibly can, because I thought it was really, really good, because we don't think about these things. A lot of us, it's just away, and just those little specifics, like a lot of people don't know what a MRF is, that information is critical, because education is the part, that's the best part of any program, obviously, and so you did a good job, and I'd like to see you be able to do more of that, even if your attendance is not overwhelming. For those mm-hmm. two or three people who are going to go out and talk to two or three other people, I think that's a wonderful thing. You did a great job.
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
That is on my goal, to continue to reach out to the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And even if attendance is low, it's one more person. So there's one person from Blue Ridge Community College, and I'm now connected with them to help make them, they've been single stream now. So, thank you for saying that.
Another avenue, being a
mm-hmm.
speaker there, to do that.
And not scheduling it on green drinks.
Huh?
Not to schedule it on green drinks.
No,
that was my problem. Yes.
Oh, you did.
That was my downfall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, it's hard to know what's going on in the community and what all the counties
mm-hmm.
One of the other things we talked about before that I have a particular soapbox for is invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I live, I'm particularly have issues with English ivy.
and you know, to me, it smacks when you walk or you drive up Canoga and people say save our trees, but they're
covered
completely
in
covered
ivy.
In ivy. Yeah. They're basically dying daily. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's I don't think there's sufficient education resources about that. I'm always amazed when somebody says, "Oh yeah, I just did English ivy and it'll just take care of itself." Well, actually, it'll consume everything,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
and then you know, trees will fall down eventually. I would like us to see. I would like to see us do more education. I know in the past we've talked about that. There's a lot of legwork, and there's a little return on investment with education. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a better way to do it.
Well, Mountain True has a really good program,
mm-hmm.
and I think Liz Curtis is also.
I think
she also
is
very
yeah.
involved in invasive
yeah.
species.
She might even be a kudzu warrior, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Which person?
Is that like the opposite of a master gardener?
Yeah,
kill plants.
Liz Curtis.
Yeah,
but I think you know, Gray
yeah.
Jernigan at Mountain True. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got a wonderful program. They do they do presentations. They
mm-hmm.
have workshops where people go out and
yeah.
remove the species. Now, remember not to give you a fire bush for Christmas.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, Conserving Carolina does a lot of invasive species
yeah,
eradication work,
right.
mostly
mm-hmm.
on their own properties that they are have easements on.
Sure, sure.
It would be great if we do a workshop on that to invite plant sellers that are selling these invasive species,
mm.
too. 'Cause you can buy English ivy anywhere
yeah.
if you want to.
And pollination celebration is always in June.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking invasives can go along with pollinators. I think didn't y'all talk about that before I came on?
We did, yeah. We've really tried to run at it before, and we just have mm-hmm. had limited success. The Environmental Sustainability Board for the city is far more active in things like that. Sometimes I think it's just fault of our name. We tend to be a little less active, but there is opportunity for it. We, in the past, Christine, just to help you kind of see what I'm talking about, we tried to do more partnership with them, thinking if we partnered, we could have a stronger impact, maybe turn more heads, educate more folks, et cetera. Ours was more grandiose ideas about creating education, and they're like, no, let's go out tomorrow and start doing X, Y, and Z. And we just...
Well, because part of their mission is to be hands-on,
yeah.
and ours is to be advisory.
Right, right, right.
So we ran up
yeah.
against that.
They have a budget.
They
we
have a
don't.
Budget.
you know, these are the realities of the situation.
But you can still exchange ideas.
Of course.
Yeah, whatever that number is that we're not paying for the master plan, there's our budget. We just saved.
Refund,
we just saved $50,000.
That's right. I want my refund.
Well, I could be paying for the composting at the schools too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because Solid Waste is sponsoring that pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is great. So there's no excuse not to do it.
Well, maybe in another avenue, if we can get moving with the school systems, is education. I think kids are always a great resource to educate adults.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, mom, dad, don't buy that. You
right.
know, don't plant that. Remove this. Plant these.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, do you listen to your middle schooler about things to buy? She's the boss of the grocery store. More than you know.
I go into long, detailed explanations on why we can't buy a certain thing. They really enjoy that.
Well, I think we got some items to work on. So we're going to find out the liaison from the Board of Commissioners. We're going to try to get some numbers on the management plan. Maybe just some information, I guess is one way to put it. From Marcus, I'm going to get my homework resolved on the review and get that emailed to you, and then to Terry. Basically, you just have to, you know, it's like a one or two page summary. Just take a look at it, thumbs up, thumbs down. I understand, Andy, you, did, you know, weren't present, but let us know how it reads.
You like it anyway.
Yeah, that's good. But anything else that we need to talk about outside? Next, we've got to talk about meetings.
Mm-hmm. Is that how y'all usually done it, or do y'all pick it at the meeting? I don't know. I was thinking it might be nice to have the whole year laid out.
I think it would. I think it would be nice.
It's okay if y'all haven't done that like that in the past. But
we used to do it that way long, many moons ago. But
well, we sort of had it like that last year, and then when Rachel left and you came on, it got
it
got disheveled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we can try and go back to the similar schedule.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have two thoughts on it, and this is just me thinking out loud. So, and I'm not, you know, totally for or against either. There are benefits to quarterly meetings, and there are negatives to quarterly meetings. We only see each other every 3 months. That's a lot of time in between, and so there's missed opportunities. But there's also kind of have to re-educate yourself. What did we talk about last time? How are we at on this, to that, or the other? Mm-hmm. But then again, if we're meeting every month or bi-monthly or whatever, we've got to have topics to work through. We can't just be sitting here saying, "Well, it'd be really nice to have such and such." You know what I mean? So there's a balance there.
We establish a quarterly meeting, and that is established, and we all have it on our calendars. And then if there's anything that comes up in between, if we feel the need, because you're right, if there's some things are more urgent and mm-hmm. we need to meet more, then it would be just a call to meet.
Sure.
Like what we've been doing.
Yeah.
I like the idea of having the structure of four meetings with the option of having more.
Right. No, I agree. So we want to continue with quarterly meetings on the second. Are we on the second Thursday?
I think we're supposed to do the first Thursday.
Okay.
But the first Thursday in January was right after New Year's, so
right.
I think we should stick with the first Thursdays.
Okay.
But I was looking at first Thursdays, April 4th and May 2nd are an option maybe for the next one. And then August 1st or September 5th. But I'm okay to meet maybe propose August or April 4th for the next one. Or is that too late? Y'all think? So we could do also March 7th.
Why is it four? I mean, why is it not every other month at this point? Well, we have some issues to work on.
Mm-hmm. You just proposed quarterly.
Yeah.
That's
what. I did. But then when I was thought about it again, I thought, well, you know, there's all that time in between and blah, blah, blah. That's a prime.
Right.
And then I started thinking about all the things that we've addressed today, you know, or we've spoken about. If we don't meet, are they going to be addressed? And so we met every. Is there a reason to meet every other month and set that down? Or? I just think we need some structure.
Here's the other burden, just to, you know, I'm big about putting cards on the table. I always feel like because we don't have a Marcus here every meeting, we don't have a board representative here every meeting, we are always trying to maintain our relevance, honestly, and we don't want to be here just to be, so the county has a standing EAC committee just to check a box. We want to be relevant. We want to be moving topics forward, obviously. We want to also make good use of our personal time because we're all busy people. So it's a balancing act.
That's sort of what happened back when we went to monthly meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got to be a drag.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, is every other month a way to split the difference?
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
Because there's, I hear what you're saying, but also a committee that only meets four times a month, to me, kind of says the same thing.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think that's, you know, you have to find the balance there because you can send the wrong message either way.
Maybe Lucy's right, though. Try every other month.
Well, those of us that work, how does that sound to you?
I'm kind of in the every 2 month camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Philip, what do you think?
Okay. So March 7th.
Perfect.
And I guess I'm hearing we don't want to schedule the whole year or just go ahead and set every other month. Yeah, okay. So first Thursday every other month.
First Thursday.
If you could send us those days,
yes.
That would be helpful.
And those would
I have sent mine if
and
you would like me.
Those would be tentative, though, the ones after March, right, you're saying? We would confirm at each meeting?
Let's just do it for the year and see how it goes.
Yeah, I think we should do it for the year.
The first Thursday?
Plus, if we meet bi-monthly, and somebody has a work conflict,
that's
and you
true.
Miss a meeting.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
That's a good point.
And the other thing to keep in mind, just kind of drawing back from what we've done in the past, we did have meetings in the past where we met off-site from time to time, or we even, you know, we've taken some field trips to the transfer station. So that may be something we want to consider as we're looking at a solid waste management plan. Let's go to the convenience center.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the transfer station.
Right.
See some of this stuff.
Right.
Have you ever had speakers before?
Yes.
I guess Natalie was one.
Yeah, we've had Natalie. We've had Steve Smith from Board of Health, or the Health Department. We've had who's the
we had the Bee City lady fellas.
Bee City. We've had Chris Burns.
Who's the trail? Yeah.
Yeah, we had there's a gentleman who works for the Environmental Health Department who does septics. Seth Swift. Yeah, he came a couple years ago. We've done a lot of.
Yeah, if we had a topic, like we tried to get.
Yeah, the subject matter experts in to talk to us to help us study up.
I could try and find a topic on, you know, invasives, stormwater, or a speaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those two topics.
I think stormwater would be a good idea to keep it.
And I'm just thinking of Maria Wise from Mills River Partnership, but maybe even Gray. Yeah.
She's spoken to us before, too.
She has, okay.
Yeah.
And there's a guy with the city, Mike somebody.
Like Huffman.
Huffman. Yeah, he's the stormwater for city, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he'd be he's a really bright guy and be an excellent resource for us.
Yeah, that's true.
And the speakers wouldn't be necessarily issue speakers talking about the topic, which we could Google, but more about city navigation and stuff, or county navigation, like stuff that we often have questions
both.
About.
Yeah, a little bit of
both. We'll do a little
bit.
Background, and then what the strategy.
What they actually do here.
Right, okay, cool.
The one thing we have to do, and this was a challenge with our prior boards, we did have some folks who got off topic pretty quickly and asked things about axes speakers about everything under the sun versus what was on the agenda, what we asked them to speak about. So as we bring folks in, just keep that in mind because it really derails conversation and extends meeting time quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking. We got derailed on something about Africa at one point in time, I think.
Whatever happened to be in her folder that day.
Right. Yeah. I'll bring that duct tape.
Yeah. No, you're fine. No one in the room is I'm referring to.
Yeah.
So
that's always a good reminder, though.
Yeah, just stay on topic. So March 7th, is that the first Thursday we'll target? And in the midst of that, I'll get my homework done. Christine and I'll meet.
Do you need help with that, or is it?
The hard, that when I've tried to do it before, the reason I haven't done it at this point, to be perfectly honest, is I have the hardest time putting all my hands on the meeting summaries. I've got, like, three of the six, or you know, whatever the number is, I'm like 60% of it. So,
do you want me to send you all that I have for?
That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
That'd be helpful. Excellent.
Well, they're all recorded, right? I mean, who wants to listen to? Because that has to happen in real time.
I think there are services now where you can just upload an MP4 to it. Or an MP3, and it'll send you back the transcript.
That's
true.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty slick.
Mm. We don't want that.
No.
I don't know.
Unintelligible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for all the homework we've given you this time.
No, it's okay. And I
need some help.
I'll let you know, but I do want to say thanks for being patient as I find all this information out and. Eventually, I'll be an encyclopedia for the county, but getting there. There's a lot to learn.
Christine, the other thing to keep in mind is if you come upon, you know, we are really set up to serve the engineering department, and so if there's something you come upon that you're just like, man, this is too big of a task for me to handle myself, we can assist you as well, because that's another way to utilize us.
And when those kind of decisions are being bandied around about, oh, man, all these fees are too high. Can we do it in-house? Should we do it in-house? Like, we can call a special meeting and help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not going to make the decision for you and Marcus, but I feel like we, as citizens and as on this board, like, those are the kind of things that we could really help with.
Yeah.
Especially considering that's the kind of thing that our letters to the commissioners, that actually could carry weight. Be like, hey, We are here every month or two. We work with staff. They're overworked. They can't take this on. They need this budget to do this master plan.
That's a really good point.
That's what
because
I'm...
Because inside, staff can't say those things
yeah.
often, but we can certainly support them.
Very true. That's a good point. Does anyone else have anything further for the good of the group?
I have one question. I don't have anything to say. I just want to garnish input. Maybe each person just has like one thing in their head. When we say stormwater is a problem, the problems are diffuse with stormwater. Is it landslides? Is it turbidity of the actual water? Is it the water rising in like damaging property? It's like what? Not stormwater is not a problem. Stormwater is the cause of a problem. So what can everyone, or maybe these?
Or just management of things that are coming.
Or more to my point, what is a problem? Like a singular problem.
Yeah.
That flooding. If we look at flooding.
Property damage from flooding?
Mm-hmm. Economic impact of flooding. You know, just the traffic. You know, having to rechannel through different places.
Yeah.
And things like that. Safety. You know, there were mm-hmm. tons of accidents. We could look at that.
Yeah, I guess mm-hmm. flooding would be one of the kind of like a big problem.
I mean, fortunately, that guy who went around the barrier over at Publix or near Publix didn't die. I mean, thank God he didn't.
And he got our name in the national news.
Yeah,
did it really?
Yeah, but
Henderson County. Oh, yeah, Henderson.
But safety's a huge issue with that. And there were lots of accidents. And again, thank God there were no fatalities, but there is that potential. Because people are just going to be people. They're going to drive around barriers.
So flooding.
Yeah.
Does everyone kind of concur? Like that's like more on point than landslides or than urban stream syndrome?
A lot of the stormwater stuff ends up going down the sewers, and we got, sewage issues at each of the various...
sanitary sewer overflows.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's a huge issue. It's really a huge issue. And we can't really... manage the root cause at this point. I don't think that's within the scope of this board. But to ask someone, what are you going to do about the flooding? You know, there was a sewer line that burst over, like what you were talking about from Mud Creek. I mean, Mud Creek is a huge problem. Flooding on Mud Creek, maybe. I don't know if we want to be more specific.
Well, for me, what strikes me is maybe there's a problem. Maybe we should do some digging in. Is it just seems like, and I know we've had a ton of rain in the past year, so it's hard to use that as a baseline for data or informed data. But it seems like with just a minute amount of rain, there is surface water.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the water table. Who knows? I'm not a hydrologist. I'm not an engineer. But just as someone who, you know, it starts raining at 4 o'clock, and I go home at 6 o'clock, and there's water on roads that's mm-hmm. a couple inches deep, and it's not just in a few places, it's in many places. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of extrapolate that out. I mean, my in-laws live off Crab Creek out past Berea Church, and they called me that Saturday morning after, granted, we had 3 inches of rain. I mean, that's a huge rain event. And they said, well, how do we get to the interstate?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have to go back over Finley Cove Road because mm-hmm. Irkwood's closed, Little River's closed.
Mm-hmm.
Canoga's, you know, I mean, these roads are shut down.
Right.
Because they're impassable.
And you also have services like home health, and
mm-hmm.
I do Meals on Wheels, and out trying to do that and trying to see if I could get back before River Road closes. I mean, there are people who are dependent on emergency services, getting to people who need services.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that helps your question at all, but those are the things that I think about personally.
Mm-hmm.
As these things happen, and I know we get more, we have more rain events and larger rain events than we've had historically, but I don't think it's going to end anytime soon.
No, all climate indication is that it's not.
I just think that we're better served by, like, starting with a problem and then working upstream, versus like just saying stormwater.
I agree.
Because that's the way ordinances are written. It's like the law is developed based on somebody having a problem with something.
Mm-hmm.
So. If we're saying stormwater and we're looking at the flood ordinance, the erosion control ordinance, and the stormwater ordinance, they're like three varied. Those are all addressing different problems.
Exactly.
But that's good. So everybody is concerned about flooding. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was good clarification. Man.
Should I take that as a motion to adjourn?
Second. I make a motion to adjourn.
All right. Thanks for everyone's time today.
Thank you.
So we'll meet again on March 7th at 3 p.m. in this room.
The one in July falls on the 4th, so we'll address that when it comes.
Thanks, Philip.
besides me goes off this trail?
That's a good question.